everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Today is May 12, 2018, and we're here live for the next 2 hours, and I got a room full of women. The women have taken over the show. Tomorrow's Mother's Day, and because of that, Trey, my board operator, came up with an awesome idea to have an all-women show, and that's what we're doing today. So we've got Master Cindy Key in here, Patty Marek, Janae Goodman, not somebody else. We got Connie Connor, we got Connie Allison, and Susan Connolly. So we got a whole room full here of excellence, and they're going to be all doing their part as the show goes on. But just like you always hear every week, before I start my day, I go to Hilltop Sefco and get my cup of fresh Joe. And they are having a nice little special there, 3 for $5 monsters. So go grab your monsters there at the Sefco, your newspaper, your smokes, whatever it takes to get your day rolling. We're also simulcasting on KRXT 98.5 out of Rockdale, and right here on this station, The Ranch, 105.1 FM. You can check us out at aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the radio page because we are feeding live there. And lots of different ways. If you want to get a hold of us here in the studio, which I highly recommend you do, the number is 254-697-6633. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com or go to the website aaronsgunshop.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Now, without further ado, I'm going to start this show off with highlights so you all got an idea what's coming up. And today, like I said, it's ladies only, almost, because I'm going to be in and out of the show just a little bit here and there. But we came up with this program, like I said, because Trey had a great idea and it has come to fruition. Now, Patty Marek is going
to
be doing the...
Every time.
I think I'm more nervous than you ladies are. She's my consultant with Aaron's Gun Shop, and she's going to be doing true stories for self-defense. Susan Connolly, the graphic designer, will give us her opinion on something, and I'm sure it's very important, and you all need to listen. I don't want to know what it is. I want to be surprised when I hear it. Our legal assistant, Connie Connor, from Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, will discuss reckless injury. Our registered nurse, Connie Allison, will give us tips and procedures on how to clean up the mess of a reckless injury event. And the delicious Janae Goodman will tell us how to be safe in the kitchen. Master Cindy Key will once again kick my you-know-what, and while explaining how to defend yourselves using martial arts. All the ladies got together and figured out what they really wanted to do bad to me, so you'll get to see it on video later. I, your host, will do the product spotlight, which will be the Ruger PC9 9mm carbine. And once all that is done, the ladies will have a roundtable discussion on a variety of topics. Now, I also want to make a thank you and a comment about retired police chief Randy Dixon. He gave up his spot so the ladies could have a good full hour to do a roundtable talk. So we just want to say thank you to him out there. Now, the number here to the studio is 254-697-6633. So give these ladies a call with your questions or comments. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, the Facebook page, and like us there, like I said, or you can listen to us on the radio page, or go to, we're simulcasting on KRXT 98.5 and this station as well. So, without further delay, strap yourselves in, crank up the volume, call all your friends and family, and tell them to tune in, and we're going to get this show rolling. So, Patty,
yes,
how's it going? Get that mic next to you.
Yes.
Trey, keep an eye on her audio. And Patty, I asked you to do the true stories in real life, and we talk about this all the time, so it should be no big deal to you, and I'm going to get out of the picture. Take it away.
All right. Thank you, Matt, and thank you for having me today. I've got a couple of things that I would like to read to you today, and I'm going to make some comments on them. These are true incidents that have happened, and according to the dates on this that I'm going to read, they happened first part of this year. We know that bad things happen every day to all kinds of people. And what you need to realize is when something is about to happen and there's a person who wants to hurt you, they probably have nothing to lose. They've probably already been in jail or... they've probably been convicted of something. They've hurt people before. They have nothing to lose. You have everything to lose. That's why you need to be prepared. You need to take all the precautions. You're going to hear a lot of things today about being aware, how to take care of yourself. Please listen. Listen carefully. And one other thing is that I like to say is if you have an incident, there will be pain. either physically, financially, emotionally, when someone acts out against you, there will be pain for you too. But you have to get that out of your mind and not be afraid of it. First thing I'm going to read to you comes from the Clarion Ledger in Jackson, Mississippi. And we think of the Old South as, you know, nothing much going on. Lots of stuff happens. But let me read it to you. And this is an incident of a man who has nothing to lose. It says, an escaped convict is probably thinking twice about his decision to try carjacking someone while he was on the run. From corrections officers. Turns out the driver of the car he tried to take had a concealed carry permit and was armed. Check. The prisoner had stolen a truck, escaped from custody on February the 3rd, and several days later was in the Department of Corrections medical facility being treated for a gunshot wound. Somebody was prepared. This guy had nothing to lose. He had originally been imprisoned in 2003 on a 30-year sentence for armed robbery. This guy had nothing to lose. He didn't care. He was going to take whatever he could, and it didn't matter. But this person was prepared, and they took care of the situation. So, let me read the next one to you. And anybody who has a question about these, they can call in and talk to us. The second one that I'm going to read to you entitled Someone in Your Home. Please secure your home. Secure your person. Secure your home. Secure your car. And also think about this. Anything can be a weapon. Anything you have in your hand. If you're cooking, you know, a hot pan of grits, come on, we all know what that will do.
That's so true.
So true. Let me read this to you. During a 911 call, a Georgia woman reported that she had shot a man who tried to assault her after emerging from his hiding place in a closet. He's already in her house. Now, she didn't secure the property. That's number one, okay? She said she initially tried to fight him off with a spoon. Anything that you can get your hands on. But he was relentless in his attack. She had to shoot to protect herself and her 12-year-old daughter. Well, obviously, she had some sense of security. She had a weapon available. But if you're a mom, you know the first thing that comes into your mind is, he's not getting to my kid. I'll do whatever I can, okay? All right. She had a 12-year-old daughter with her. When police arrived, they found the wounded troublemaker lying outside the home. So apparently he's shot. He stumbles outside. The miscreant later was pronounced dead at a hospital. You think end of story, but that's not the end of the story. There will be pain. Somebody will, a DA or a lawyer or somebody will come to you, and there will be not physical pain here for you, but maybe some financial and emotional pain. Let's see. He was later pronounced dead. Police identified him as a one-time child molester. Were her instincts correct? Absolutely. She got between her daughter and the trouble. And whatever she has to pay, I'm sure she's willing to pay it to keep her child safe. He was displayed on the state list registry of sex offenders, but no charges were filed against the citizen. Okay.
You read that thing about the guy in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
As a woman, what's going through your mind when you know somebody has invaded your space, is in your closet, and is going to do you harm?
Well, the first thing you're going is, uh-oh. You know, and I don't think you're afraid at first because your adrenaline is kicking in.
I don't know, because I've heard some 911 calls. Yeah. You've got the difference between somebody who's freaking out and somebody who's calm, cool, and collected. I can see you as calm, cool, and collected, but there's a lot of people, due to lack of training, they just freak out. So,
well, I mean, what's your slogan? Practice eliminates panic.
That's right.
You follow your training. You do what you're trained to do. It's the same here, as in sports, as in if you do play a musical instrument, your muscle memory has to take over. You can be afraid later, But when your child is in trouble, you just do.
That's right.
You just do it. You just get between them and the trouble, and you try to take care of business.
All right. Okay? Now, look, for the sake of time, those are the true stories of self-defense in real life, and we're going to talk again in the second hour, but I want to get on now Susan Connolly. She's going to be going over our opinion piece today. I'm quite interested to see what she's got. She's got a wide variety of things to talk about, so I'm kind of curious what she's going to talk about today. Susan, how you doing?
Good.
Great to have you on the show. It's good to have you back on the show again. Good to see you. Tell everybody what you got, all right?
Okay, well, I just wanted to tell you who I am first. I'm a media specialist by day. I do graphic design, photography, and web editing and that kind of thing. And in the evening, I paint and teach painting classes, and also I'm a firearms enthusiast. And I'm passionate about encouraging women to be prepared when something bad happens and not be in a position of weakness. So I have a feeling that all of this is really going to overlap with all these women because we all have the same opinion about this. I do not want to be in a position of weakness if something bad happens. And I also believe that there is black and white in the world, that bad things do happen, there is evil, and that we good people need to be prepared to act when something bad happens, because there are bad people in the world and bad things do happen. So I've been a firearms enthusiast probably all my life, but I really became a firearms enthusiast about 15 years ago. I found myself single. I had a 7 to 8 year old child son. He's 22 now. And I moved into a big old house, and I was renovating it. And it had really old windows. The only way people couldn't get in, I would lock the windows by putting a board up, you know, so that the window wouldn't go up. So I'm thinking. So one night I'm upstairs. Sometimes I'm by myself in this house, and sometimes I'm with my child. And mostly I'm by myself, but he's also there in another room. And I'm thinking, I'm laying in bed one night, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, what if somebody comes into my house? This old house has one way upstairs. There's one staircase. There's no way out. It's two stories. I can jump out the window, but then, my son is there. And also, there's no door locks. There's no doorknobs, no door locks, nothing. No door can close. And I go, I'm pretty messed up here. What am I going to do? Throw a chair at the guy? I mean, what can I do? So I did have weapons in the house, and I put one next to my bed and thought about, you know, how would I started thinking about the scenarios that might happen if someone broke into my house and I was by myself or my son was there. And so I decided, of course, to hide. You know, I have a gun downstairs. I have two upstairs in strategic positions then. I also wanted to make sure that I knew how to use the gun safely and what the best way was to use this gun, the firearms that I had. And I have a number of different kinds, and I really wasn't afraid of them, but I wanted to know what the safe way was to use them and the best way to defend myself if something bad happened. And so I also wanted, this is really important, to teach my son those things. I wanted to be able to teach him the right way. If I didn't know the right way, how was I going to teach them the right way? So I went down to Aaron's gun shop and met Matt and took his concealed handgun license class, which is very excellent. You learn so much more than you would anywhere else about defending yourself, about the safety of the gun, and about how to use it. And then I started, so I got my concealed carry license, and one of the epiphanies I had, because I was like, well, at one point in my life, I didn't ever think about carrying a weapon, but then I thought to myself, you need to ask yourself, why can't I carry, you know, why can't I get my carry license? Just because I'm a girl doesn't mean I can't get my carry license and know and be prepared about how to use it if something bad should happen, because I'm not into weakness. I'm into being able to defend myself if something, and knowing how to defend myself if something bad happens. So that's pretty much why I, you know, became a carry licensed. And I've been doing this, going down every Friday night, practicing, not every Friday night, when I can, and learning about other types of weapons, learning how to use other types of weapons, learning how to use my weapon proficiently, and practicing so that I can become, you know, proficient. So that's basically, I want to encourage women that they can get their carry license and to not be in a position of weakness, but be aware of your surroundings, be able to take care of business when something bad does happen. And I want you to ask yourself when you're in your house, what if this happened? What if this happened? What if this happened? And be prepared, have a plan, be able to defend yourself and your family, even your husband. If you're married, you need to be a team and have a plan together. You need to be able to practice with the weapon you have and be comfortable with it. And practice so that
practice eliminates panic, right?
Right.
Now, Susan, hey, Trey, get ready for a break. But Susan, last night was the round robin competition.
Yeah.
And you do practice a lot, and I know you're very aggressive with your mind and everything. You really want to learn, but even with all that training, we still step on it sometimes, don't we?
We do.
And that's why it's all more important to just practice even harder, because when the stuff hits the fan, your 10 fingers turn into 3 fingers.
That's right.
And so we just try. That's why we're so focused on shooting a small group, because when you get pumped up full of adrenaline, your group's going to open up. So if you start with an open group, it's going to get like buckshot or a shotgun spread. You don't want that. So anyway, all right, Trey, let's take us out. That was awesome. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, give us a call here at 254-697-6633. And when we come back, we're going to have the two Connies on. Connie Connor from Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. And we're going to have Connie Allison on, our registered nurse. See you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds,
254-697-6035. It's a trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunShop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yacht equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Back, everybody, the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio program. Again, it's today's date? May 12th, right? May 12th, 2018. And we've got the all-ladies show today. It's going great. And we've got the two Connies, the Connie Squared. I got Connie 1, which is registered nurse Connie Allison. I got Connie 2, that is Connie Connor from Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. And we are going to be talking about reckless injury. And the reason I got these two on together, because if you're doing reckless injury and causing some serious injury out there because you don't know how to shoot your weapon, you got Connie Allison, the registered nurse, going to show you or tell you how to fix it up. So first, let's introduce y'all. Connie, say hi.
Hi. Hello.
How y'all doing? Okay. Say who you are, where you're from, what you're doing, then get into what you want to talk about. Go ahead, Connie.
Hi. As Matt said, my name is Connie Connor, and I do work for Capellino Dodd and Krebs here in Cameron, Texas. We're personal injury attorneys. My segue changed after listening to the ladies thus far and a little prior to the show. I don't own a gun. I've never owned a gun. I've never shot a gun. Listening to the stories and to, you know, Cindy's self-defense and Connie's being vulnerable type situations, I may be rethinking of owning a gun. I am not against firearms. It's just something I never had to do. So I may be looking to purchase a firearm and by all means go to Aaron's Gun Shop for the proper training.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. As Matt said, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about recklessness. There's recklessness with a lot of things in life. Working for a personal injury lawyer, I can say the majority of what I do is relevant to recklessness. I handle all of our asbestos cases, which most of our clients were Alcoa employees, and they have developed illnesses, some serious illnesses, due to the negligent recklessness of Alcoa, sad to say. We also handle motor vehicle accidents. Most motor vehicle accidents are not negligent recklessness. It's recklessness. Someone was tired, they worked too long, they fell asleep, or, you know, just were just not paying attention to what they were doing, and an accident is caused. As Patty had said, when things like that happen, there is a hurt for the victim, whether it's physical, emotional, financial. Of course, neither one of those situations I just gave have anything to do with a gun. It's more on the recklessness side. You know, people can be negligent. It generally, if you are negligent with your recklessness, that's where trying to defend yourself if you were to have charges brought up on you, it's probably not a good idea. If you are negligently reckless, in some cases that can be a criminal suit. You've broken the law. You knew that that vehicle you let your wife drive had no brakes.
So, how would you say that that relates to like a situation like a self-defense? So if you were in your home and someone comes into your home, and you're forced to use your, in your mind, you're forced to use your weapon, what kind of things you need to be aware of, like as far as like negligence, like what kind of thing would make you negligent versus criminal in that situation?
Well, if someone's in my home, I'm not a criminal lawyer. I'm not a lawyer, but I don't work for a criminal lawyer. But I would presume if they're in my home, I can do what I need to do to them to protect myself and my children, whether it's a frying pan, a pipe, like Cindy talked about, or a gun, a firearm, whatever it would be. I don't know that there would be recklessness unless I panicked and grabbed it and didn't focus on the perpetrator and
so
accidentally...
So it would be about the threat, right? So if someone's a perceived threat and why they're a threat...
Connor, can I interject on that one? Because I had a question. I don't know if you can answer this since you're not an attorney, but what Connie Allison was saying, this is an example that I've asked, and that is, what if you're in your home, somebody breaks in, but you've been drinking and you're over some type of limit? Does that cause any problems as recklessness?
Mm-hmm. Again, not an attorney, and we are not defense attorneys. I cannot truly answer that. That would be, I would think, my opinion, reckless, negligent recklessness. You've been drinking, and you've got a gun nearby. Now, if a perpetrator comes in your house there, that's where you kind of cross that line. But if you're drinking and you're playing around and like, hey, look what I have, and the gun goes off and you shoot your friend, that's negligent recklessness. Because you should know better, being under the influence of drugs or alcohol, that I really don't want to be messing with this gun.
Right. So if somebody's breaking into your house, it could change a little bit.
Well, it could, because now they're intruding your personal space, and it could be a reckless situation where, because of being a little incoherent, you go to shoot that perpetrator and you accidentally shoot the wall, it ricochets off and hits someone in your family or a friend. There's that fine line there.
If you're going to drink at home, make sure you have a sober
a designated shooter.
There you go. I'm usually the designated driver. I don't know, having not ever shot a gun, if I could be the designated shooter. Okay.
All right. So in that case, so what I was going to speak about a lot is kind of after the fact. So like we talked about someone breaks into your home and you're forced to use your weapon. And then what? So you shoot someone. What are you going to do? First of all, you're going to make sure that the threat is no longer a threat. If the person's still capable of hurting you, you want to make sure that they don't have a weapon, that they, if they're injured, if they're not moving. You want to make sure to remove any weapon away from them in case they wake up and still want to hurt you. At any point in this, you want to make sure that you're going to call for professional help. You want to call 911, not only for the police, but for EMS. So emergency medical personnel that need to be en route to get to you regardless, because you don't know what's going to happen or what kind of injuries you or someone else might have.
I was thinking too, ladies, if you could blend it together, because you've got the legal assistant and the nurse, you do reckless injury, let's say you're out in a parking lot, and because of a lack of training, somebody, instead of hitting the threat, hits three or four other innocent people. So we have criminal recklessness here, and then we've got Connie on scene, and she can tell you about how to patch things up. So I think that would be a great scenario. Can you kind of talk about something like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, in a parking lot, like you said, and we had talked about earlier, particularly women, that's where we may be most vulnerable, particularly at night. And I see someone approaching me, and I have a firearm, and I want to protect myself. But for whatever reason, I can't think of one off the top of my head, that I panic, which I probably would because, like I said, training. I've never shot a gun. I don't have the proper training at this point in time. My hand may shake, and I hit the pole where you return all the baskets, and it ricochets and hits three or four other people, and Connie Wan is walking with her cart and sees this, and as a nurse, there's innocent people, not dead, but on the floor, on the ground, bleeding, and that's where I would say, you know, can you help me? What can we do? It was...
So if you realize that due to a lack of training, you may have caused a reckless injury, okay?
Absolutely.
After it happens, and now Connie's going to get into her side of it, what should you do on the legal aspect of it to maybe cover yourself to the best ability after you've done this reckless injury? Is there anything you should do that you think?
Well, I wouldn't tell them I wasn't properly trained.
Keep quiet and get the
truth. Well, I would certainly hope that I would have my concealed license. That would be a big no-no to do that, to be in a parking lot and, you know, shoot someone with my gun, and I don't have the proper paperwork and training to do that. Now, I may have passed all the training and received that certification, but I don't practice enough. So I'm allowed to carry it, but I really don't know what I'm doing. That's recklessness. And then to a degree, it's negligent recklessness. Like Susan said, she goes as often as she can on Fridays or whenever to practice. And I know I would need to do that for sure. But back to being in this parking lot, I accidentally, because I'm not totally trained and I'm a little shaky, I instead of shooting the person who is the troublemaker or is about to commit a crime and harm me, it hits the pole, ricochets, and hits other people, and Nurse Connie is nearby.
Connie, I can't tell you how important what you just said is, because a lot of people are out there, and ladies, you all know, the ones who come to the range a lot, y'all know, you don't train, you're a hazard out there. Getting a piece of paper or a card that says you're licensed to carry doesn't mean you're able to use it properly. So, I mean, what you're saying is right spot on.
And, I mean, that's my true gut. You know, I don't even hold a gun because I don't know how to shoot it.
Well, I have a question, if I can assert. I have a question. Okay, you're talking about guns, and in these days and times, maybe they'd mostly be a person with a gun. But I've had incidences where somebody would pull a knife. Like, my husband actually had somebody pull a knife on him when he was working for the railroad. So it's, you know, if you have somebody pull a knife on you, parking lot, your house, whatever, and you're fighting over this knife, I mean, I know how to redirect the knife and give it back to them. But if you're even if you're accidentally fighting and, you know, they get stabbed and now they're seriously injured or they die, mm-hmm. you know, what is the legal aspects for that? I mean, especially if they're in your house or mm-hmm. Like you were asking, if they're trying to jerk you out of your car and take your car with your baby or you and your car. Never go with anybody.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, fight as much as you can. Don't let them take you anywhere, because the chances are you're going to come back are probably not very good.
Well, and if you fight back, they're more likely to leave you alone because they don't want somebody that's going to fight back. So even appearing like you're going to fight back.
Connie, Mike.
What I was saying is that you want to fight back because they're more likely to leave you alone if you fight back. They don't want someone that fights back. They're going to pick you because they think you're weak. So even appearing like you're going to fight back, or if someone starts approaching you, making sure it's clear, you don't want to mess with me, stop, I don't need your help, you know, go away, making those things clear will help with that. But I see on your end of it, so if someone does get close to you and someone gets injured, So what kind of, you know, legal ramifications are you looking at there?
I'm sorry.
I just handed her an article that fits perfectly what you're just saying there. You're saying if somebody's got a weapon. So, Connie, you might want to touch on that. The article is about people who are...
Yes, Matt just handed me an article, which I'm going to read you. The headline is, "Attempted Mass Shooter Was More Concerned About Concealed Carriers Than Police." This is Second Amendment News. Criminals prefer soft targets, as Connie said. So they seek out ways to avoid armed victims. Recently, a student was arrested for planning to commit a mass shooting. This teenager, who I shall not name or picture, was planning an Islamic State-inspired mass shooting in the Dallas Mall. He apparently hit the FBI's radar in December 2017, and the subsequent investigation provides a lot of very interesting insight into a mass shooter. For example, he considered waiting until he was 18 to purchase a rifle, but was also reading ISIS magazines on how to perform operations and make bombs. The shooter was selecting targets where police response time would be slow. Remember, seconds matter. Connie can attest to that. Police are minutes away. We're talking seconds. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, the planned shooter stated that he was more concerned about concealed carriers intervening than police officers intervening, from the arrest affidavit that came from. They discussed the possibility that patrons in the mall could be carrying concealed weapons and could draw those weapons when the operation begins. To which the suspect says he didn't think a police officer would try and take us on, and noted the Parkland, Florida shooting, and says security officers at the school ran outside. A lot of people are mad at him. We know that over 98% of all mass shootings happen in gun-free zones. We also know this particular shooter was not deterred by laws or danger to himself. This shooter said, "It's not about numbers. It's about getting a message across to the Tag Hut countries." He wished to kill indiscriminately, and he was going to do so with or without guns, be it bombs, vehicle, or other means.
I thought that article just fit perfectly with what you guys were saying. They don't want to fight.
I wanted to just say here, like I said, I don't own a gun. I'm not against firearms, but I know there's a lot of outrage right now about the Second Amendment. And when I've done some research, just particularly with the CDC, there are nationwide, more deaths from drug overdoses than there are from gunshot wounds.
You know what? Drugs are illegal.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if you make guns illegal, they're still going to find a way. And it could be worse because the wrong person is going to have that gun in their hand. And they're not going to go to Aaron's gun shop and take the training. They don't care about the training. They have a set purpose.
Hey, Connie, on those numbers, aren't a lot of those numbers gang-related or suicide? So when you come to the actual reality of somebody doing harm with it, the percentage gets even lower, doesn't it?
Okay. The CDC's most accurate numbers are only through 2015. It takes a while to... But the number one leading death was drug and alcohol poisoning. 26.9% nationwide, with 11.8% of that being suicides.
Of like drug overdoses. But you mean suicide by firearms?
Yeah.
Like
drug and alcohol.
They break it down. Correct me if I'm wrong. They break it down when it comes to gun-related instances.
Okay. Firearms are only 16.9%.
Now, this is what I'm asking. Out of that 16.9, what?
60.7% of that is suicides.
There you go.
So, and it's third down the list. Drug and alcohol, then motor vehicle, then firearms.
What was the percentage of suicides again?
The overall firearm death is 16.9, mm-hmm. with 60.7% of that.
And I'll bet you a large portion after that is probably gang related.
More likely.
Yeah. So, okay, just keep going, girl.
Or in for the insurance money.
So, Connie, what do you do? What do you do when they're bleeding out in the parking lot now?
Well, first of all, you want to make sure whoever caused the bleeding is not going to do that anymore. Take the gun away from whoever started it, right? Because stopping the threat is going to be your first move. And then you want to stop the majority of the blood. So you want to see where the blood is coming from. So if they have multiple injuries, there's going to be a lot of blood everywhere. If there's some smaller injuries that can bleed a lot, different areas of your body is have a lot more bleeding than others. But you want to watch for life-threatening bleeding, which you're going to, it sometimes appears movie-like, and it'll be like the spurting with a pulse, and it will be shooting farther than just like trickling down someone's arm. Number one thing you want to do for bleeding is direct pressure. And I'm not talking about you put your palm over it and you say, oh my gosh, you're bleeding. That's not going to help. So what you want to do is called thumb over thumb. So you want to put your thumb directly from the main source of the bleeding where you see the spurting coming from, and then another thumb over that, and you want to use as much pressure as you can on that one direct spot to try to occlude the blood. Now, then you get into if you have other equipment with you. The number one thing I think you can have in your vehicle that might save someone's life is a tourniquet. Because if you come up on a motor vehicle accident, in this situation someone is shot, having that tourniquet and knowing when and how to use it is going to be very important. So direct pressure, first of all, and then if you can get the tourniquet, you want to go above the injury and you want to tighten it enough to where, one, you see the bleeding stop. Because you can bleed out in a matter of minutes before anyone's ever going to get to you. And then there's a point where you can bleed out enough that it doesn't matter if someone does get to you, it's not going to be a lot they can do.
I have a question, Connie. Okay. How long does it take for somebody to bleed out if you got an arterial cut?
It depends on where it is and how severe the arterial bleeding is. You can have a nick on an artery and it's going to bleed a lot, but you may not bleed to death for, you know, you may have 20 or 30 minutes. If you cut a brachial artery, which is on the inside of your arm, like under your armpit, if you cut that artery, I mean, within minutes.
Connor, let me ask you this. If somebody intrudes into my home and I happen to nick them where she just mentioned, should I call law enforcement about 3 minutes later? Or should I call immediately?
I think you got what I was trying to say.
Yeah, I do get what you're trying to say.
You don't have to answer.
No.
Well, okay. It's not going to matter, ultimately.
It probably wouldn't, because even if you called right then, like in this story you gave me, it's going to take the police generally minutes. Especially, look where we are. We're out in the country. It could take half an hour sometimes. Most of what we have, you know, the EMS and law enforcement, more so fire, there's very few of them in this area, so the person's going to be dead before they get there.
And me, personally, being out in the country, I've seen emergency vehicles go into a location, and I know where the location is, and they're passing it up and down, looking at driveways, not sure where to go, so that adds on to the response.
Sure.
Well, and that brings me to another point, too, is that in that situation, that's why it's important for you to not only be trained to use your firearm, but to be trained in first aid and emergency stuff, because I know what I'm doing because that's my job, but a normal person's not going to know. But what are you going to do if it's your family member or yourself that's injured? You're not going to have help come right away. So knowing what to do just long enough to get the professionals there is very important. That's why everyone should take, you know, basic first aid and then like CPR, because that's what's going to save your family member's life, initiating that stuff sooner. So and then another situation, so say someone breaks into your home and you shoot them. Okay, now they're unconscious. You don't know if they're dead or not. So then what do? You know, make sure they don't have a gun and they're not going to hurt you. But then check yourself and your family and make sure you're okay. And then you want to check this person. Say they do still have a pulse, but you see that they're bleeding. Then what do? Do you render aid? You should call for help. And then, I mean, no one wants to kill someone. It's not, you don't set out your day, but if someone's trying to harm you, you want to stop the threat. So ideally you want to take action until you stop the threat. Once the threat is stopped, then you can render aid as you feel comfortable. This person can face legal actions later, but, you know, that's
I got a question, and this is going to sound weird, but I think you all know me by now. I mean it seriously. As women, do you find yourself a little bit more apprehensive or nervous in a protection scenario of yourself? Or do you feel if you have a weapon, and Ms. Key, you're a little different because you are the weapon, okay? But a woman who's not a martial artist or whatever, do you feel as though a gun is an equalizer for you?
Absolutely.
If you're 100%.
If you're probably trained.
I feel pretty comfortable with the firearm. I've done, you know, pretty good training with it. I practice with it, and I feel like that makes me feel more comfortable to be able to protect myself, especially having a young child. A lot of times they're distracting, and when you're distracted, you're not able to be as aware of your surroundings. I think women, you know, take it, have a harder time with that because they are not as aware of their surroundings, and they're more vulnerable.
Can I step in too?
Sure.
I've taken women to the range, and in one instance, I had a lady that came, and she had just gotten her carry license, and she had this revolver, and she was scared to death of this revolver. Now, in that case, I think that revolver is not going to help that lady because mm-hmm. she doesn't know how to use it, and she's scared of the revolver, probably. And then if something bad should happen, she's not going to know what to do, and it might get taken away from her mm-hmm. right. pretty easily, probably.
Right.
So that's just my point.
Having the right weapon for
yeah.
the person.
Well, and knowing how to use it and being comfortable with that weapon.
While being willing to use it.
And right. being willing to use it, too, absolutely.
Right.
It is a tool. With it.
Yeah, about a minute.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm very interested to get inside of a woman's head because it really helps out a lot when it comes to training women, because women have a different thought process, especially with the kids, protecting them. And they have a tendency, I don't want to sound weird here, but they have a tendency to do a hell of a lot more than guys do. Guys, we always use the scenario, guys have waffle brains and women have spaghetti brains. And what I mean by that is the spaghetti's in a big bowl and it's all jumbled together because they're doing a million different things. They're taking care of their kids, they're cooking, laundry, working another job, so on and so forth. So they're really busy, whereas a guy's attitude, I know I'm a guy and this is how I think, I'm in security mode. I mean, one of those little boxes on the waffle, I'm in security mode. Once I'm done with that, I'm in cutting the grass mode. So when I'm in security mode, it's all cylinders are on, but you ladies have a tendency, because you're so diversified in what you do, you can't really focus. So it's always interesting to hear what you say so I can apply that thought process into the training I do for women specifically. So I think that's pretty good. Any final comments before we take a break? I think we're good. We'll get it on the other side. So Trey, let's take about a minute or two break. And when we come back, we'll be doing our topic of interest segment. I'll let you know what's coming up. And then after that, we got the delicious Janae Goodman coming on with Tactical Snacking.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capilino Dodd Krebs.
It's a trust. As true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's May 12, 2018. We're here live. We've got about another hour and 5 minutes to go, and we're in the Topic of Interest segment. It's going great. The ladies are doing awesome. I think I'm going to just back out and let them do it all the time now. But I wanted to give you an idea of what's coming up here. Yesterday, actually, we had our round robin competition. As always, it's great. Susan was there. Patty was there. They did awesome. And unfortunately, a guy won it. I wanted you ladies to win that one. So every second Friday of the month is the round robin competition. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com and check out the homepage, up at the top there's a link as to how it goes and works. And if you go to the YouTube channel, you can see some videos on it too. Tomorrow is Mother's Day. Men and women, if you got a mom, which I know you do, you better take care of her. There's nothing like your mom. You only got one of them, so make sure you take good care of them. The 18th is Ladies' Night. That's next Friday, or this Friday coming up is Ladies' Night. So if you're bringing somebody and they're a woman, they can come and shoot all night for free. May 19th, Saturday, 2 p.m. is my license to carry class. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the LTC page, you can sign up there. If you have a license already and you need a refresher, which I highly recommend that you do, you can sign up there on the LTC page as well. The new course is $60. The renewal, or not the renewal, but the refresher course is $40. I highly recommend it. Or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Also, on the Aaron's Gun Shop website, if you go to the High Cap Adventure page, you can look at all the different types of seminars that we provide. We've got some specifically for women. We've got co-ed, rifle, AR, shotgun. We can organize it the way you want it. So you just give me a call or an email, let me know what you're doing or what you want to accomplish, and we can set something up for you.
That's so, a great Mother's Day gift.
Oh, yeah, Mother's Day gift. Man, a ladies only class. I did that for Valentine's Day, and they had a whole bunch of couples coming in. Because if, you know, if you're a married couple or you got a significant other in your same house, they're your backup. They watch your six. So lots of things going on at Aaron's Gun Shop. And if you got any more questions, just go to aaronsgunshop.com. Take a look at all the pages there. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And follow us on Instagram. And now, to my left, is the delicious Janae Goodman. Janae, it's always a pleasure to have you here live.
Thank you.
And I know you've got some great information about tactical snacking, so why don't you take it away?
Absolutely. Hello, my lovelies. Today, we are going to talk about things that you can do in your kitchen to help you and your family stay safe, as well as some steps to take for things when they get out of hand. So I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. Studies have shown that the kitchen is one of the most dangerous rooms in your house. I mean, I really didn't have to pull up a study to let you know that slippery floors, water, and sharp objects all in the same area are a screaming disaster zone. But, you know, now that you know it, discuss it. Scalds and burns are rather common in the kitchen, and they're typically pretty mild injuries. To avoid a burn hazard, turn the handles to the left or the right instead of hanging over the stove so that they cannot be bumped. Also avoid reaching over any steaming pots. Put a lid on a pot if you must reach over it. Do not use any higher heat that you can't handle. And if your food starts splattering, go ahead and remove it from the source of heat and turn it down. If you happen to get a burn or scald on your skin, take care of the injury immediately. Now, don't go grabbing any ice. Ice can further damage your skin, causing the injury to take longer to heal. For milder burns, simply flush the area with plenty of room temperature water until the pain subsides. If this injury is more serious, cover it with a cool, damp cloth until the pain subsides. Exposing burns and scalds to heat will further irritate the area, so be sure to wrap the area with sterile dressing and secure it with medical tape. For tongue and mouth burns, soothe your mouth by drinking plenty of cool water, and you'll want to avoid any hot foods and beverages and eat softer foods until your mouth and tongue have time to heal. If you have an oven hood, make sure to clean it so that you don't deal with grease fires. I recommend doing this at least every month, but you can easily do it every couple of weeks. It's as simple as wiping down the area where grease gathers up with a damp towel or grease cutter. If you choose to use a cleaner or a chemical, make sure that you spray the cloth directly to avoid any drips onto your stove. And never, ever put water onto a grease or an electrical fire. You can use salt or baking soda to smother out the flames. You'll need plenty on hand. That little box of baking soda isn't going to cut it. For larger fires, use a fire extinguisher. I highly suggest putting one on your birthday list or your Christmas list if you don't have one already. In order to use one, you'll want to remember PASS. So these things come with different classes. Class K is typically for commercial use only, so it's not one that you'll be able to find very easily. Class F is pretty useful for a kitchen, but if you can't find either one of those, look for an ABC extinguisher or a combination of those. So this one here is a BC, so this is perfect for kitchen. Thanks, Matt. This one goes for liquids and electrical equipment. So in order to use this, PASS means to pull, aim, squeeze, and sweep. So you'll want to pull your pin, aim at the base of your fire, squeeze the trigger, and then using a sweeping motion, moving back and forth at the base of the fire. Make sure to give room between you and the fire about 6 to 8 feet, depending on how large it is. In order to make sure that you're safe, if you can't handle that fire, make sure that you evacuate immediately. Time is the most valuable thing in the kitchen, but that's not more valuable than your life. So make sure that you stay safe. We all know that broken glass is a pain in the butt. And sometimes it helps if you know how it's going to happen. Sometimes it'll happen in ways you can't think of. So I remember making baked potatoes, and I thought it would be a great idea to fill the container with water to make my baked potatoes cool a little quicker. Well, instead of hot potatoes, I got a hot potential of injuries and hazards. So changing the temperature can rapidly shatter dishes. So do not sweep up any glass if this happens to you. The first thing that everyone does is grab a broom in order to sweep and gather their mess, but you end up actually brushing those particles all over your kitchen into crazy areas. Instead, get a pair of rubber gloves and put on shoes, if for whatever reason you weren't wearing any, and carefully pick up any large pieces with your hands. Vacuum your floors and use a soft piece of bread to pick up the tinier pieces. It's practical to use country loaf bread or just, you know, regular white bread, but it's kind of insane for me to ask you to do that all around your kitchen. So you do want to follow this up with a damp towel, and then make sure that you get the bottom of your shoes as well so that you don't track it to other sections of your house. Cuts and injuries are bound to happen. More injuries are caused by a knife that's too dull than a knife that's too sharp. If you injure yourself while cutting, wash and sanitize all affected equipment, toss out any exposed food, bandage or wrap the area, and wear rubber gloves if this injury is present on your hands. To make sure that you don't get electrocuted, make sure that you dry your hands before handling electrical equipment. I know it seems like a no-brainer, but sometimes we get caught up in what we're doing. Speaking of getting caught up, don't ever leave a high heat unattended. If you must leave the area, set a reminder or have a visual aid to help you remember what you're cooking. And regardless of what you're making, set a timer. It could be 2 minutes in the oven or 10 hours on the stovetop. You'd be surprised at how quickly you can forget a component when multitasking. So the biggest takeaway that I can give you is clean as you go and pay attention. As always, reach out to tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com if you have any questions, comments, or culinary concerns. Have a lovely Mother's Day weekend, and until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
I got a question for you. Sir? You're talking about hazards in the kitchen. What about that hot jalapeno or the hot salsa? How do you put that fire
out? Actually, acid works very well for that. So a lemon juice
You mean for your tongue, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, so things like lemon juice actually work really well.
Really?
Milk can help soothe your tongue, but it's not going to kind of rid of that fire. It will help soothe the area, however.
So instead of looking like you're puckering because your tongue's on fire, you're going to pucker sucking on lemon juice,
yes,
right? Okay,
yes.
Fantastic.
That's the most effective way to do it.
As always, Janae, excellent, excellent. Trey, why don't you take us out with a break, and when we come back, we're going to have our round table. The lady's going to get here with a whole bunch of good info. They're going to swap notes, points, and we're going to have a good time. So we'll see you on the other side. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Point. You're in control. You got
yeah.
the mic.
Somebody
Welcome
say
welcome back.
Welcome back.
It is May 12th. We're here for our open discussion. So where do you all want to start?
Well, we're a group of women, right? So I think that we should, we have plenty to say. I don't think you'll have a problem there. Men out.
First of all, if you're going to call up, the number is 254-697-6633. Give these ladies a call. Tell them what you're thinking. Ask them a question. You've got a whole bunch of great information here stored in these brains. You need to get access to them.
Call well, yeah, us. Yeah. We want to hear from you.
Yeah,
we
call
want to
us.
Know who's listening out there.
So I think that women, as women, we face separate issues. You know, we're perceived as more vulnerable, and there are certain situations. So we're targeted more. So let's talk about some things that we can do differently to help prevent putting ourselves in bad situations. First of all, I think that we need to just be aware of our surroundings and observe people's behavior. I think it's in a lot of our nature to think the best of people, but there's a lot of bad people out there, and just keeping your eye on them can prevent a lot of that. Yes. Keeping your eyes up, not texting while you're walking to your car, you know, not putting your back to people. That kind of stuff is very simple, basic things that we can do to help keep ourselves safe.
You even need to think about when you get to your car, how you're putting your items in the car. Don't put your back
right
to people. You know?
When you're going to speak. Yeah. Lean forward again to a microphone.
Well, you need to think about, ladies, if you have a basket of groceries and you're in the parking lot and maybe it's dark, how you put those groceries in the car. How can I keep my back? How can I keep my face turned toward, you know, a potential threat? What do I do? Do I open the front door, put my back to that door, and then put the items in the car? How do I do that so that I'm not vulnerable to somebody just driving by? Because people do just drive through the parking lots looking for you. And it's not to make you afraid. It's to make you more secure.
So that makes me think of a story I just read about. It was a woman in a parking lot. She's at a gas station. This is all surveillance video that they're getting this from. She's in the parking lot. She leaves her vehicle running. She's kind of parked to the side. And she gets out to change her baby's diaper. She lays the baby on the seat in the back. And she's leaned in the car changing the diaper. And we all know how it goes. That's the most vulnerable I feel, is leaning into the vehicle, trying to fight my kid to get into their car seat. And your rear is sticking out the door. So she's changing the baby's diaper, and a guy comes, shoves her into the vehicle on top of her baby, shuts the door, gets in her running vehicle, and drives off. How scary is that? Some simple things she could have done is, for one, don't leave your car running.
Nope.
Leave your keys in the vehicle. For two, don't leave yourself in that vulnerable position where your back is facing outwards. A lot of times what I figured out is that if you are having to do something like that, get in all the way into your vehicle and shut the door with it locked while you're dealing with your kid or whatever it is that you're doing, changing the diaper, change them on your console of your car, or, you know, get in the seat, change them on your lap, different things. It seems like it's a lot extra and a pain to do it, but think about the what you're risking by not doing those things.
Mm-hmm. Before we started this conversation on the radio, Connie was talking about some things she does when she feels threatened by individuals around her space. And
right.
Can you enlighten us with that? Because I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, so like as women, we're perceived as meek or quiet, and we're taught to be very nice and pleasant and smile. But really when it comes to your safety, it's okay to be assertive. And like we were saying earlier, assailants want weak victims. And so if they think that you're weak, they're more likely to attack you. So if you can show that, first of all, you're not, and you will fight back from the very beginning, they're less likely to try to attack you in the first place. So if I see someone that's coming close to my space and it's making me uncomfortable, if it's in the dark or just, I'd get a, just trust your instincts. If you get a weird feeling from someone, keep them away from you. Even if they have something important they want to say to you, you can say it from over there. So if I find someone that's coming close to me, I put my arm out and a stop, and I face them, and I loudly, to where other people can hear as well, I say, stop, get away from me. And if they continue, or if they say, well, I was just going to say, no, get away from me now. If they continue on, then you know that they don't have any good intent, because any normal person, they're even if they're just asking for directions, or if they feel like, you know, they're just trying to tell you something, they'll just say, I was just going to let you know you dropped your wallet, or, you know, I was going to ask how to get to whatever. They're going to back up because they don't want to scare you, or they don't want to be put in a position where you attack them. But by turning and facing them, you're showing that you're not afraid of them. They, you know, assailants, most of the time they want someone who's scared, who's not going to fight back, and who is, I don't want to say making dumb mistakes, but really making dumb mistakes, or just,
not paying attention.
Not paying attention, and not being proficient in protecting yourself and observing things, and that lets them know, like, no, I'm the wrong person for you to try to attack.
You know, being not assertive me. Is not bad. It's strength is sexy. Be assertive. We're taught not to be assertive, but yeah. You got to get over that. This is an ugly world out there. Be assertive, take care of you and your space and your loved ones. It's okay. And I think a lot of ladies, especially older ladies, that's a problem. They don't want to be assertive. It's not in their nature. That's not the way they were taught. That's not ladylike. But that's not true. You can be a kind person. You just people just don't need to get up next to you that want to cause you harm. So, ladies, rethink some of the things that you've been taught. Rethink that.
I do think a lot of women tend to think more of how they're being perceived. Like, mm-hmm. You know, what are they going to think of me if I do this? Well, that's the wrong move. Because when you think about it, you want to present yourself in the way that people are paying attention. So not only paying attention to your own surroundings. I mean, anytime I go into a room, anytime I'm getting ready to get out of my car, I'm looking for a way out just in mm-hmm. case I need it. You always have to be prepared. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I had to get over, especially after hearing about all the jackings at gas stations and mm-hmm. just parking lots, lock your car. Regardless mm-hmm. of if you're going to be gone for mm-hmm. 3 seconds or 30 minutes, it does not matter. Someone out there, if they want to hurt you, if they want to steal from you, they will find a way to do it. Make it difficult for them.
Right. And the hands up position is open hands are so, if you have any training at all, are much more dangerous. But the person looking in from outside, if you have your hands up, that's very defensive. And so if there's some video and you actually have to do something, it's going to show that you were trying to get them to back off and mm-hmm. you're being very defensive and I don't want any trouble, please, you know, just go away, you know, go over there, whatever. But then if they come in and you have to defend, then I think you're going to be in a better position.
Yeah, after the fact, as far as like legal ramifications, it's going to show that you did try to get them away from you without being violent. And then if they can, and you made it clear that you're threatening me, I feel scared or you know, threatened, get away from me. And they didn't listen. So that gave them the opportunity in the first place. I think that's exactly right.
Don't be afraid to be loud.
Right.
Yell, talk, whatever.
Ladies, I want to interject with a question here. I want to talk about women in the bedroom, okay? And I'm not trying to be funny here. My most vulnerable spot in life mm-hmm. is when I'm dead asleep, okay? So my security mm-hmm. defenses are enhanced greatly to give me as much notice as I can. I've read stories, many stories, about a woman waking up to a guy looming over her in the bedroom. What's your thoughts on that? What do you think you can do? How do you feel about it? Any comments?
Well, I mean, they don't call it naked and vulnerable for nothing.
Yeah. Sleep in the buff or you wear pajamas or whatever, right. So it makes a big difference.
Exactly.
Well, I have a big dog. I have a couple of big dogs, and they're not going to let anybody in the house without me knowing it.
Right.
I mean, and so that's one level. But locking your doors, I have a routine every night. I cannot go to sleep until I check every door that I have, and I go and every time. And if I can't remember if I did it, I do it again. You can get an alarm system, having outdoor lighting, spotlights that are motion sensored. So a lot of people will sneak up to a house and, you know, when that light comes on, they're like, I don't know about this. And they're going to go. Having those things will kind of alert you.
Okay, but they've broken in.
Okay.
You're still snoozing, the fan's on because you're hot. And so that drone or that fan is in your ear to put you to sleep, hold you to sleep. What do you have? Last second defense. Are you prepared for that?
Well, that I think that the first thing you can do is have this conversation. So a lot of people, you don't know what you're going to do. So knowing in advance, so like if someone's going to break into my house, I know where my gun is. And I know exactly what I'm going to do. I know where I'm going to go, and it's going to depend on if I have my kid at the house, because she's going to be my number one priority. If she's not there, then I have different priorities. Then it's going to be myself. And you kind of go from there. And
I think the main thing is to start thinking about these situations. Like, what if this should happen? Mm-hmm. What if this happened? What if this happened? And decide to decide what plan you're going to make. Mm-hmm. So you decide what if, you decide, you know, you think about what if this happened. What if this happened? What if this happened? What if the guy came in the front door? What if the guy came in through the back door? What if he's over you, on top of you, on bed already, and now you're awake? What do you do? I mean, and Cindy might be able to tell us, you know, exactly. Physically what, you know, I'd go for the groin, actually, you know. Take him out. I mean, I don't, you know, get some training from Cindy. And but yeah, I think mainly it's just about preparing and thinking about the different scenarios so that you actually have a plan for the particular scenarios that you, you know, that you might be involved in.
Yeah, and that's another point, is that women are made out to be victims, and they're so comfortable a lot of the times just staying that way, and they start thinking about all these scenarios, and they're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do in that situation. I don't know what the best thing to do is. And that's right, and you're not the expert. So then what do? You find an expert to teach you, and you practice it, and you have a plan for these things. And, you know, they drill into you, you have a plan if you have a fire in the house, you have all these drills. Especially even with your kids, teach your children what to do if someone breaks into the house. Where should they go? What should they do? Teach your children to call 911. And then as they get older, you can teach them about how to protect themselves as well. But don't just stay a victim. Do something about it, and know what you can do with your own personal restrictions and abilities. And then, you know,
I have something else to say about this, because I think we're all on the premise that everybody in this room thinks that something bad could happen.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of women think that, oh no, that's never going to happen to me. And we all have the premise, we all know that bad things can happen. I feel I'm not very PC, and so I think, you know, or politically correct, I think there is black and white. I think there is bad and good. And so I think you need to be prepared for the bad things that possibly could happen, and that bad things can happen, and not be, you know, just lull along life and not be prepared.
Yeah.
Well, if you ladies are in bed and somebody's standing over there to the side of the bed and they're not on top of you, roll away from them, because then you're putting that
distance
space, between you. The lamp, I mean, if you have nothing else, grab the lamp. You know, that's something to keep them away from you. If you have a flashlight, you know, anything on here, you know, figurines. I love Jim Shore figurines, and I would hate to break one of those on top of somebody's head, but I would do it.
Yeah, and you could put something intentionally by your bed that you could use in that situation, and being prepared. Like, I keep a bat by my bed for that reason. It's something that's safe that I don't have to worry about my kid about. But what about our listeners? Is there any questions that anyone has, or any scenarios that anyone wants to talk about? Give us a call, 254-697-6633. We'd love to answer questions or have a discussion with you about different stuff. We'll go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be back in a few.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rockdale offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
Welcome back, everybody, to Aaron's High Cap Adventure Program. Today is May 12th. We're sitting here in our round table with our women's takeover for the day. So I kind of wanted to start talking about this article that Matt opened up before we started here. It reads, Toronto van attack suspect was student, ex-military recruit. So when you first read this, you hear this information, but it gives you details like the attacker wasn't actually very sociable. He didn't really talk much. He was a computer nerd, as some would say. But in the end of it, it came to the conclusion that he was sexually frustrated. So that was the reason behind the attack. So why, first off, what could have prevented this attack? What could have prevented him from wounding several people and killing others? What do you think?
Girlfriend?
You know, as a guy, and man, I hate you, dude.
Spectre lifting his hands.
Every man
so.
From the time he was in fourth grade, you know, 11 years old on, knows how to handle that without help.
No pun intended.
That's just...
No pun intended.
That is BS. That's what that is. That is BS cop-out.
Well, it's not an excuse. That's no
story,
excuse.
He's giving praise to this other guy who killed some people in 2014. And what was the term they used?
Scott and something. Or no,
Chads and Stacey's.
Chads and Stacey's, that's what it was.
And that's referring to just the general men and women.
Successful romantic.
Right.
Yeah, that's a cop out reason. That's a mental health issue, and we need to do better with our mental health, and we need to do better about speaking up about mental health and addressing it before it gets to this point, because there's some people that are going to need help. Mm-hmm. And there's not anything that anyone's going to do that to cause this. There's not anything anyone can do to prevent it other than to get that person
I wanted to make the point
help.
That it's not the gun. Leave the Second Amendment alone. You might want to consider legalizing prostitution to avoid these guys doing this kind of stuff.
Right, yeah.
I feel like prostitution is pretty rampant in the United States. I mean, I don't have any, you know, statistics in front of me, but I've seen the people in my neighborhood, and I can tell you it happens. So why not make it safe? Why not make it a choice that people can comfortably go about their day with without worrying about going to jail for it or worrying about being safe? I mean, do you see any opposition in that?
That brings up a lot of issues with
the government does, because they don't get their tax dollars.
Yeah,
right. That wouldn't be an easy thing to manage.
Money. Everything so is no cash reason. Money.
That's
we
what,
are
that's
in the,
what
in
comes
the rusty
down
Bible
to.
Belt here.
So. Even with, you know, marijuana.
So
other drugs. They're not going to get their tax money because there's no reporting
it,
of it.
If you legalize it, you have to license it.
Yes.
If you
mm-hmm.
license it so you can tax it. But then you're opening the door for the government to say, well, now we can get into mm-hmm. your bedroom mm-hmm. even more than they already do.
You're going to be controlling what you can and can't do with your own body, and I don't really see a feasible way for any of that.
Well,
to,
I mean, we can argue about that all day long, especially right. with abortion on the table. I mean, they're already mm-hmm. trying to control our bodies as it is.
This would just give them another hook into it, and that's.
Well, that's assuming that everyone is wanting to be a prostitute or wanting to involve themselves in prostitution.
This just opened up a can of worms. My whole point on this was stop getting on the Second Amendment when it's either, like Connie said, a mental issue or a hand issue.
Right, the people with these mental issues like this are gonna if they're wanting to hurt someone, they're gonna find a way to hurt someone. And if you take away their guns, even. First of all, they're still going to be able to get them. And even if they can't, they're going to find another way to do it. So the mental health care is just horrible. It's just very horrible because a lot of our mental health patients, they don't have insurance, they don't have money, so then they don't have help. And then you stick them off into a room, give them some medications for a while, and then you set them free until they do something really god-awful mm-hmm. terrible, like murder 12 people, and then you lock them away forever. It's just not a solution.
You know, Connie, you just brought something else up, too. And a bunch of these stories here that I got on the table, I got them for a reason that law enforcement knew these people, or people who knew these people knew that there was something off with them.
Right.
And yet they don't do anything, and it causes mass chaos with guns. And once again, they go back to the gun as the problem, not the mental health issue.
Right. And think about, like, if the first or second time there's a small incident, somebody steps in and say, you know, hey, I care about you. You're my friend. You need help. We're so afraid to say that someone needs mental help or in a mental evaluation or maybe some medications to help with some of these issues. And there's such a stigma attached to it that nobody wants to say that to anyone because they're afraid they're going to offend them and say, oh, I don't want to call you crazy. Or they don't want to admit it because, like, oh, someone's going to think I'm crazy. And they just let it persist for far too long until something really terrible happens. Yeah. It's really just a shame.
Look at all of these articles Matt has laid out here. You know, just reading the headlines, they all knew. They knew ahead of time there was something not right.
There's
with
even
the person.
One sitting here that says that the guy who shot people in a Waffle House actually had his guns taken away and they were given back. So
wasn't
I don't
that by his parents.
I'm not terribly sure. I haven't gotten that far in the article.
I think his parent gave him his gun back.
Well, yeah. It does say they were seized. So yeah. Let's see who they were seized by. I feel like that makes a difference.
They were living with. Yeah. Who he was living with gave him the guns back.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's another thing is that parents, you know, your children, you know, if you have young children, even all the way up to adults, like if you're seeing an issue and you don't know how to address it, you need to get your child some professional help, even if it's minor, if it's just, you know, depression or, you know, something along those lines and starts that way. Those things can progress and we just want to ignore it. We don't want to make our children feel bad and we don't know what to do. So we do nothing. And
but
that's not okay.
Nobody wants to admit that their child has problem
exactly.
because they failed.
Right. And
so that's a perception,
but
too.
The fact is, you're only failing if you don't do something for them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then it puts a tag on that child at school mm-hmm. if they need to be called to the
His
nurse's office to
back.
Take their crazy medicine. Or, but as a parent, that's what you need to do. We should all be able to recognize, especially if you have more than one child, if one's very different than the other, mm-hmm. you know, something's not right. You know, go see the doctor. Do the testing that needs to be done. Like you had said, it's not the gun that kills people.
Right.
It's
would
the
like
person
to
behind the gun.
Make an analogy about this too, because what I want to do is paint a picture. So you have a table and you have a firearm on the table. You have a knife on the table. You have a drill on the table. You have a car outside. All those things can be used as a weapon, but they are inanimate objects and they do not move until someone picks them up and does something with them. The person that picks them up is either, you know, going to do good things with it or they're going to harm you with it. And it doesn't have to be a rifle or a firearm. It can be all of these other things. And so the responsibility is not on the inanimate object, it's on the person that picks it up. what is their intent and what are they going to do with it?
So yes. Why do you think the media pushes that aspect of it?
Ratings.
Definitely ratings.
Ratings. And just the aspect of the
it's a hidden agenda. That's what
they want to take. They think, well, they are making the gun the evil thing, and they're not, because they want to, a lot of people are afraid of guns. And they are afraid that they think that if we didn't have any guns, that nothing bad would happen.
Well, it's government control.
The fact of the matter is you're not going to stop them.
Hidden agenda.
No, the bad guys are going to have the guns.
You're not going to stop bad people from doing bad things.
And they don't have to have a gun. They can have a car. They can have a knife. They can have other things.
A bag of fertilizer.
You women are all educated. You understand this. So how do you spread the word to those who are ignorant? And we all know what the word ignorant means. That just means a lack of information. How do we spread that so we can start sharing the news that it's not the gun, it's the mental attitude or upbringing or a lack of it?
I feel like a lot of it is just explanation and say, hey, look, stop. This is where you've gone wrong. This is what you need to understand before you make assumptions about this situation. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that can be a little bit more difficult if that person hasn't been in that situation. I've been in situations before where the person doesn't have a gun, but I feel threatened. Mm-hmm. So understanding the science behind someone wanting to hurt you and being able to do that is way different when you're put in that situation, mm-hmm. versus just, you know, standing on your soapbox saying, mm-hmm. guns are bad, okay? So they need to understand that. Like you kind of mentioned, the media drives that fear into people where they want you to believe that guns are bad so that it's easier to put away the Second Amendment. But that's not the case. That's not how it should be.
And I think in our everyday lives, everybody has their own opinion and it's very set. I think having an open discussion with someone and saying, okay, look, I'm going to listen to your opinion and see your side of it. And then if you know, allowing them to feel less threatened, you say, okay, look, I don't understand your point. I want to understand your point, so please help me, and then have them explain their rationale, and you can offer counter arguments, and watching the way you say things will make people feel very threatened and shut down. A lot of people will not listen to you.
Exactly. Right. What you're saying is exactly what I do, but I've come to learn people, they want to win. They're not open to negotiation.
They don't want to be wrong.
Whatever you want
to
call it.
Yeah, they just want to shut you down.
I've talked about this before. The core element of life in this country is Constitution, Bill of Rights. Everything outside of that can be talked about, negotiated, mm-hmm. but people don't want to listen.
Yeah, and there's some people that you're not going to change their mind. And then in that case, then it's just better not to have the discussion and say, this is, said my piece on it. Or if it's someone that you have to work with, it's probably better not to discuss it at all. You're going to, create an awkward environment for yourself. But if it's somebody that you feel like that you're comfortable enough that you can have that open discussion, making sure you're not saying things like, well, you're wrong, or no, and putting them on the defense sometimes, I find that people are more open to you if you're...
try not to make it personal, like you
said. Well, yeah, and if you truly do sit there and you try to understand their point and you say, well, this is what I'm missing, and then what about these other things? And, well, what about this? And you're asking questions and you're engaged, they're much more likely to be engaged with you. And there's some people that are just not going to. They're just not going to listen to you, and they have their scripted things that they're going to say, and then they're going to... the more, rational you sound, the more irrational they sound and the louder they get, and then they start calling names, and that's because they don't really have a stance. And you say, well, you know what? I didn't come to argue. I came to have a discussion. I'm not calling names. I'm not angry with you as a person. I just wanted to talk about this.
You'll notice that they can't get past a conversation past the bullet point that they heard on the news. Mm-hmm. When you start asking questions past the bullet points, they're ignorant towards it. So that's why people like you and me and Trey, and all this, we get different information sources so we get a better idea what's going on as compared to, oh, that's what they said, that's how it must be.
That's why perhaps those people need to, when you're trying to not necessarily change their mind but explain the reasoning, the rationale, is give those real life scenarios, put them in that situation. What would you do if you're in your kitchen and this perpetrator's behind you? And you don't have any self-defense courses, you don't own a gun, and you're not thinking, let me grab this knife, or let me grab that fire extinguisher, or whatever.
Yeah, let's...
You need to put those scenarios into that person's head.
Right, and if there's any listeners out there that want to give us a call and add to the discussion, ask us some questions, the phone number here is 254-697-6633. And again, that's 697-6633. We'd love to take your questions and have you join us. We're having a pretty heated discussion here.
Not just some ladies call. If you guys have a question from our perspective, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you.
All right, Trey, I'll tell you what. Y'all got the phone number. Get your questions ready. Trey, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue this discussion. Who knows what's going to hit next? So we'll see you on the other side.
Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company. For friendly service and quantity work, stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. 4417.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
Everybody, to Aaron's High Cap Adventure radio program. Today is May 12th. We're in the middle of our open discussion with all the ladies here during our women's takeover. So, welcome back.
All right. So, one of the articles that Matt brought to us was one about a young guy. He's 19 years old, and he's now in having a be registered as a sex offender because he had sex with a 15-year-old who lied and said that she was 18. And then we're just having a discussion here about what, like, whether that's all right. Is it okay that since she lied, should he have to be labeled as a sex offender the same as someone who's molested a young child? If you have opinions, I'm going to give the phone number again. It's 254-697-6633. Personally, I think that, no, that's not okay. That I think that she should be held responsible, for her actions as well. And I think that, we should have a separate, name for it. Sex offender is just so broad. It covers everything. If somebody says they're a registered sex offender, what does that really mean? Does that mean that they violently raped someone? Does that mean that they molested a four-year-old? Does that mean that they were 19 and a 15-year-old girl told them she was 18 and they had consensual sex at that point? Or it was just statutory rape? You know, that could mean anything. And I don't really think that that's fair.
Really, the term sexual offender, I don't know that this is true, but I've heard this with backup saying that sexual offender can be anyone who decided to pee in a public park and got arrested for it.
Right, because so, you're indecent exposure.
Right, exactly. Right. So how can you tell your neighbor isn't someone who accidentally got caught doing something silly versus something like aggravated rape with a weapon or
violent.
Or even right. even date rape or I mean there's just so many aspects of it. I don't think that one blanket term is really appropriate. And then, you know, we have all these young girls that are putting themselves in bad positions. That doesn't make it their fault at all. It's not to blame if they're something bad that happens, but they should be held accountable if they're lying, if they're manipulating someone, or if they're coaxing someone into a bad situation. You know, that they should be held responsible for that too.
I do want to ask, because I'm not terribly sure, is there jail time or is there any sort of punishment for lying about your age and participating with something like this?
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't think so.
There should be.
The parents of the girl could try to file a civil suit on a statutory rape.
For him, but I mean, is there any
how is that helpful for him? I mean, that's just putting him in even more hot water.
It's probably a slap on the wrist, and you know, what you put on social media, you know, is fake news.
I recall
like everything else.
A cousin of mine actually being killed because of a situation like this. Mm-hmm. He had been talking to a girl online who said she was 18. They ended up meeting, and the girl's dad ended up at the door and shot him dead because mm-hmm. his daughter turned out to be 14 and lying about her age on the internet. So I definitely feel like there should be some sort of stipulations for that.
And so we got a question here. This is, would he have any civil recourse?
Would he?
As the victim, she lied to him, got him jail time. He's got this brand now.
Yeah.
Well, read what it said here, too.
Is there anything he can do civilly, since obviously he can't do anything criminally?
Right. She didn't break any laws. She didn't lie to the police. Now, making a false report, I've seen that happen, too, is women saying that they were raped because they made a bad decision and they regretted the decision. That's not the same thing as being raped. And I've seen women encourage this kind of behavior online, and it's like, you did something, you didn't, well, we'll just say he raped you, and that's not okay. That is not in any way okay.
And here in the article, it actually states they agreed to the sex before, Cully and the girl, Cully being the male in the situation. It was consensual. There was no coercion. The girl's date of birth was stipulated, and she claimed on Facebook that she was 18 years old. So this was something that she even agreed to in the terms of service for her account. Everyone agreed the girl reached out to Cully on Facebook. The offense was based on the girl's age. Cully was more than 3 years older than the girl when they had sex multiple times. The sentence was based on everything brought forward during the trial.
So if he had just been a year younger, too, it would be, you know, a different story. And I think that brings a point to guys to be careful with what you're doing and know who you're dealing with, because sometimes it's hard to tell how old someone is.
Sounds silly, but ask her for ID. I think that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Right.
Doesn't that break the mood?
Hey, it's better than going to jail for statutory rape.
I guess my thought on this is, with all of that evidence, I would have to take a step back and look at his attorney. And the jury, a jury trial, how could anyone, if you have all of this evidence, how can he be guilty and have this?
I was thinking the same thing.
This name against him for life.
Right.
Well, that's,
common,
jury of your peers isn't always the people we want it to be. You know, it's like, oh, she was this age and he was that. He should have known better. But there's all this evidence that she flat out lied. She posted it on social media. I'm not understanding how he was sentenced with anything.
Hey, Connie, isn't there some cases where the guy does statutory rape where the girl's underage, right? but then they get married and have kids together, and yet he still has the stigma of a sexual offender?
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you're deemed with that, it doesn't go away. It's forever.
That's what I'm saying. There's no common sense in this.
Right. Not just with social media, but, you know, you can Google someone's name or Google who are registered sex offenders.
You can look on your map and see where they're...
It's all going to come up, and that's always going to be there. And the average person doesn't know the true story behind it, right, as in this case.
So there goes his federal benefits. Yep. There goes his ability to get a job.
It can't live near school. As this headline says, one lie about age changes another life forever.
And I'm totally in favor of what somebody's called if they do what it's meant for. I totally dig it. I'm just talking that little segment of time, right, a 2 to 3 year time frame, especially when it was consensual.
Like Connie said, if you have a 14-year-old female and a 35-year-old male, he should definitely know better. You know, even if she says she's 18, there's still a big difference there. But this, the difference in this age, the 3 years there, that's not... That's my opinion.
Well, we're winding down. What do you got? What do you ladies got? One last couple minutes we got here before we take a break, and we'll get to Mrs. Key, Master Cindy Key, doing some wicked things to me, I guess.
One thing I wanted to make sure that we address is that as women, we've discussed different techniques for preventing attacks and what to do during attacks. But what about, you know, concealing a weapon, carrying a weapon? We have different needs and issues that we come in contact with, where our clothes are typically don't have good pockets. That's a whole nother topic. We don't have a lot of extra room. A lot of women's clothing is tighter than men's, and we are often the ones with the children around, and we worry, how do I prevent my child from getting a hold of this weapon, and what are some things that we can do? A lot of women just opt to not carry at all because they're afraid of it, when there are solutions. One of the solutions that I have found is that I'm a big proponent of carrying on your body. If you carry in your purse, you could set your purse down. Someone could get it. It could be separated from you. It's no use to you if it's in your car and you're in the store. It's the first thing that someone's going to grab away from you if they're trying to rob you, or if they're trying to make sure that you don't have a weapon. If they think you have one and they're like, well, it doesn't look like she has one on her, I'm going to take her purse. There's probably a gun in there. That's going to get separated from you. So I have a North American Arms little revolver that I carry on my person that no one's going to get to by accident. My kid's not going to be able to get to it. There are things that you can do. Another thing is to teach our children about the guns, and even when they're too young to handle it or really go through the course, just making them familiar with it, making sure that they know it's dangerous to the point of death, and making sure that they know where it is, but that they're not allowed to get to it, and making sure until they're at the age that you can trust them that it's always either locked or unavailable to them for safety reasons. I think that a lot of people, and they just want to hide it from their kids, makes them curious. They want to go play with it. They don't understand it. They aren't going to know any better if we don't teach them.
I think explaining it is beneficial, because any person, even an adult, you say, okay, don't ever touch this. Don't touch that. I'm going to touch it as soon
that's
as you leave the room.
Right?
It's the forbidden
fruit. That's like telling
fruit.
Me not to eat cookies.
You know, because you told me you can't touch that. Well, why can't I touch it? What's going to happen if I touch it? Mm-hmm. So explaining to your child, even at a young age, and as was said earlier, if you explain it earlier in their life, they, by the time they are of a certain age to truly comprehend, they would probably more than likely be able to handle a gun more so than the 15-year-old who's never been exposed to it,
knows
nothing
about
it.
Yeah.
But just sees daddy's gun sitting on the...
with his best friends, and
right,
someone ends up
exactly
shot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, ladies, because we're running out of time, what I wanted to do here, Master Key, we're going to have you at the last segment. Here's the reason why. I want to have you the last one to do this. I'd like you ladies to tell everybody who you are, what you do, if you got anything on the side that you do, painting, whatever type of skills that you have. Let people know who you are, what you do, and take this time right now to let everybody know.
All right. My name is Connie Allison. I'm a registered nurse, emergency trauma nurse. And I also do artwork painting on the side, do murals for businesses and canvas artwork. So.
Okay.
My name's Connie Connor. I'm a legal assistant for Capilino, Dodd, and Krebs. That takes up a lot of my time, and I'm not from this area, so I can't really say I have hobbies because I don't know a whole lot of people to get involved with different things. But my children are up in Philadelphia, and they're my life, and I spend as much time as I can either FaceTiming or speaking with them or texting.
Well, you're a group of very diversified women, so I think we're going to take care of that aspect of it. Okay, Pat?
My name is Patty Marek. I'm a reference librarian at the Temple Public Library, and I am a Second Amendment enthusiast.
I'm Janae Goodman. I teach pre-K through 8th grade in Houston, Texas. I teach culinary and gardening. So, yeah.
Yay.
that pretty much takes up every hour of my day. So,
my name is Susan Connolly. I work for a nonprofit in Harker Heights. I do graphic design, web editing, and on the side, I paint, oil paint. If you want to check my stuff out, it's SusanSterlblog.com, SusanSterlblog.com. And check out what we do. I sell a lot of commission paintings.
Awesome. Now, we have Master Cindy Key, my former instructor, always instructor. And we're going to clear the deck here, ladies. We'll clear the deck so we can have enough room where she's going to do whatever it is she's going to do. But, Miss Key, why don't you tell everybody who you are, what you got, and what you're going to do to me now.
Okay. Cindy Key here. And I own Central Texas Martial Arts in Rockdale, Texas. And I have trained Matt and many people over the last 26 years that I've been doing this. And I love martial arts. I love gardening. My husband doesn't give me flowers and candy. Usually I love to put rocks around my flowers, so I got rocks in the back of the trailer right now to put around my garden that he's saving for me. So I love my husband who gets the rocks for me.
So romantic.
I know.
Key, all you ladies were talking about what's a vulnerable thing for a woman, or what y'all can do to me or whatever it is. So what did you come up with?
She had mentioned about being shoved in the car, okay? And I'm going to agree with these. All of us agree that please don't start your car and then start to do something. Oh, my goodness. You know, if you go to put your groceries in or you're checking on your kid, that's like just asking for trouble. You know, get in. If you have to mess with your kids, get inside, lock the doors. You know, put on their seat belts, do what you got to do for them so that nobody can come in from the outside. However, if you're in a situation where you are having to do that and maybe all the doors are locked and you still have your keys, which that would also be a good thing to keep a hold of your keys. I have a lot of keys. Okay. So if I had to come in here and I'm fixing the car seat or putting groceries in, I don't care what you grab. You grab whatever you want.
The
whatever
scenario
you want.
Is,
it's not gonna matter.
Get this mental image in your mind.
Whatever you want. If you have keys like this, I really like a lot of keys. I mean, I can just come here and I'm just gonna start slashing him in the face. You know, and then I have elbow, you know.
But what if you're halfway in the car? Okay. Look, here's the seat of the car, okay?
All right.
You're changing diapers on a baby or something. Okay, this looks weird on video.
It's going to look weird on video.
It looks pretty weird in person.
All right. Are you just going to try to shove me down or are you going to try to pull me out? Because that's different.
Well, I don't know. What do you like?
Wrong choice of words.
Okay. Let's say I want to try and pull you out of the car. I want to steal your wallet and then take your car.
All right, let's go. All I'm going to do, I'm going to come up and I'm looking where he is right now. I have his foot and his shin in his foot. Then I'm not even going to use my hand because he might be a really big guy. I'm going to use my forearm on him. And then I'm going to be kneeing. And here's his shoulder and his neck. This is a knockout. Ugh. That's tearing his shoulder up. You know? If he has you, if you're freaking out and he has a hold of your hair, you know, one way I'd want it to turn, it'd be this way. Because I'm taking this arm away from me. Mm-hmm. I'm pushing this arm away from me. Now, I still have my attacks. I can strike to the throat. I can punch.
Ms. Key, don't we have the problem, though, of confinement in the door frame or in the backseat of a car, we'll say? Because you got this confinement around you, right?
All right. Then I'm going to strike groin. Mm-hmm. And honestly, my instructor taught me this. I'm going to grab, and I'm going to twist. Mm. And then I'm going to put my elbow into him as best I can. And then I'm just going to be kneeing and elbowing as best I can. My instructor was beating the crap out of me on my test, and I was just getting me, and this is my 14th round, and I just about had it, and all I saw was his groin. I'm like, if I move my hand to hit him here, he's gonna hit me again in the head. So I hit him, and I realized
what I said was weird, huh?
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying I grabbed and I held on, and I have it on video. He's screaming, no cut, no cut. But he quit hitting me, and he didn't hit me the rest of the test. So I know this works, because if I can stop him, I can stop anybody. But, you know, you really need to pay attention. Just give a peek, because if you lift up like this and you let him grab, then you have this bend in your back, and now you're off balance. So you don't want to just lift up and let him have that. Now you're off balance, and this is now I'm really in trouble now until I regain my balance. Right. But if you stay here and you just peek, then you can step in and either hit the groin here, turn, have this, stomp. If I stomp his knee into the concrete, he's going to be slower, and I can run, so I don't have to, you know, take him all the way out. I can
that
just
will be
distance.
On video probably Monday or Tuesday, so you can check it out at Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel. Ms. Key, tell everybody what you got going on, how they get a hold of you, so on and so forth.
Well, I have a summer special, and I'm only accepting 10 new students. It's $99 for 2 months of class, so come see me. They learn a lot of self-defense and basic technique, and we do have a world championship that we go to in August. So,
and where are you located in Rockdale?
We are approximately 1 mile from the 77-79 junction going towards Lexington. So if you're on 77, you just go over the overpass and look to the left. The sign is 26 feet in the air that says karate. It's a tan metal building. Come see me. I always offer a free class or two because I only want students and parents that want to be there. You know, I don't want kids that, you know, they come one time, then they decide they hate it. So you do not pay me any money until they have done at least a class or two and be sure that that's what they want and that's what you want for them.
And how can they get a hold of you?
254-721-2775. You can text or call.
Ladies, it's been a pleasure. I think everybody enjoyed it, me most of all. Trey, thanks for the great idea. And hopefully we can do this again soon. But until next week, ladies and gentlemen, keep your powder dry and God bless.
I'm Jim Taylor, on the air in North Korea. This announcement that North Korea will dismantle its nuclear test site and destroy all tunnels at its northeastern testing ground and western Germany.
Fires hurling rocks and trying to pull down sections of the